With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Kaboom!
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic. A sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
In the air, everywhere. We are back at it yet again. Another weekend is upon us, and we are back at it because we do the radio show. I do the radio show 5 nights a week, as you know, and then we have the spinoff here. We have a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday show. So two shows on Friday. Got two shows kind of on Sunday into Monday. And we do thank you for supporting the podcast, even when there are issues. More on that coming up. We'll talk about that on the Saturday podcast. But today is an interview podcast, a conversation, a chat with someone who we know, someone who we like, someone that we're curious to talk to. And so, by the way, Gascon is back this week. David Gascon is back. He's contributed his way in. Don't get used to it. This could be his final weekend on the podcast.
Yes.
We can all hope that he goes somewhere else, but he's here this weekend.
Booking grade A guests yet again and continue to shine like a diamond. That is what I do.
Yes. Pat yourself on the back a little more.
I shall.
Be a little more pretentious.
Yes.
Yes. Anyway, this week, the NFL draft coming up here just a few days away, a chance to catch up with a man who is synonymous with the NFL draft, the number two pick of the old San Diego Chargers. Show me your lightning bolt. In 1998, it was neck and neck. It was belly to belly between Ryan Leaf and Peyton Manning. Colts had the number one pick. The Chargers had the number two pick. We know how it turned out, if you somehow have forgotten. It didn't turn out well for Ryan Leaf, one of the historic NFL draft busts. He only played 25 games in the NFL. He's had some fights with demons over the years, but he has continued to counterpunch. And you got to respect that Ryan Leaf's been knocked down. He's done time in jail. And he's continued to fight back, and a lot to talk to Ryan Leaf about, which we are excited about. So let's get right into it right now. We welcome in a now former NFL player for many, many years, played with the Chargers and the Cowboys and had a cup of coffee in training camp and offseason with some other teams. But let's bring in Ryan Leaf. Well, we'll start with the NFL draft. Ryan, we thank you for spending some time with us here, but let's start at the very top. Trevor Lawrence, the number one pick, the presumptive number one pick by Jacksonville. Is he as good as advertised?
Yes, he is. He's everything in a bag of chips. I'll give you that. Probably the most complete player coming out of college since Andrew Luck. Would have been the number one overall pick after he upset Alabama, or more or less destroyed Alabama, and Tua Tagovailoa in the national championship after his freshman year. And to not move a spot after 2 years, which everybody was, the expectations were so high, the only place you could go is backwards. He didn't. He is still the overwhelmingly presumptive number one overall pick and best player in this year's draft.
So Ryan, he's going. It looks like he's going to Jacksonville unless something crazy happens. Is that a trip to the gulag, if you will? I mean, Jacksonville has not exactly been a wonderful outpost in the NFL. Do you put any stock into that, lad? If you get drafted by a team that's not, you know, not that great, that you are doomed?
Well, I wouldn't say doomed, because Trevor's a transformational player. Like, he could walk into an environment and he changes the environment. You know, there are guys that are just guys that are great quarterbacks, but they can't change the environment around them. It kind of happens the other way. He's capable of doing that. Unfortunately, a lot of times when these top draft picks, you know, Trevor reminds me a ton of Carson Palmer. He goes to Cincinnati. There's a couple great years where they get into the playoffs, but that's as far as they go. You know, you just kind of lost, kind of forgotten. Never been a Hall of Famer out of Jacksonville. Tony Boselli could change that maybe down the line here someday, but it's going to be really, really difficult. And unfortunately, for the likes of Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence, the best quarterbacks in each draft are going to the worst possible teams. And systemically, that means, you know, we probably won't hear from them in terms of a ton of success at the NFL level.
So Ryan, I saw a story that caught my attention. I wanted to ask your opinion on it. There was an AFC coach, they didn't name, of course, who said that Joe Burrow is better than Trevor Lawrence, that they would have taken Burrow 100 times out of 100 in the draft if they'd both been in the same draft. You buy that take, or is that hyperbole?
Well, I mean, their head-to-head matchup was just an absolute dismantling. You know, I know it's not, you know, quarterback versus quarterback, but, I mean, that's what you're going off of, right? What Joe Burrow did in that one season at LSU is remarkable. It's absolutely remarkable, and I really think he's going to change the environment in Cincinnati. I just, you know, that's a coin toss. That's a Peyton Manning, Ryan Leaf right there. If those two were in the same draft, I would argue that it was exactly the same in 98, where no one knew who was going to go one and who was going to go to two. I think there would be a lot of opinions on both sides of that coin if that had been the case last year.
Yeah. Actually, I wanted to talk about that. I mean, we'll get back to the draft, but back when you and Peyton Manning were neck and neck for the number one pick, did you think you were going to go to the Colts? Did they talk to you like they were going to draft you? I mean, everyone in the media said it was going to be a last-minute decision. How close do you think you came to being drafted by the Colts instead of the Chargers?
Well, I was hosting Rich Eisen the other day, and when he was off, and I had Jim Irsay on. I had the owner of the Indianapolis Colts on the show, and I asked him that specific question. I was like, how close was it? And he said, well, you know, it was pretty much split 50-50 in our war room with the scouts. Bill Polian, who, of course, the general manager at the time, who has the final word, he really was leaning towards Peyton. And Jim Irsay, the owner, was leaning towards me. And he had asked a really close confidant of his in the NFL, who came to him a couple nights before the draft, and a guy he trusted a lot, said to him, Jim, you got to take that Leaf kid. And luckily for the Colts and for Jim and for everybody involved, they didn't. He didn't listen to his longtime NFL confidant, and they went with Peyton, and that was the best choice they could have made.
But if you had gone to Indy, like, were you? I mean, you obviously had some issues. You've admitted that. You're still, you know, battling stuff occasionally. But if you had gone to Indy, would it have been different? I mean, you don't know. In a parallel dimension, if you go to the Colts, is there a different outcome?
You know, I might have been able to keep my character defects under wraps a little while longer because there would have been more talent around me. But ultimately, you know, I was the problem. So, how, you know, Peyton threw the most interceptions ever in a season for a rookie, and the team went 3-13. I don't know if I could have dealt with that failure. You know, I don't know if I could have, you know, gotten through that. I had a really hard time dealing with failure in a positive way, where Peyton saw it as an opportunity to do it better the next time, and clearly was the right choice. There's a saying I use all the time: no matter where you go, there you are. And no matter where I went, there I would have been, and I was definitely the problem. So I just assumed that no matter where I would have gone or where I would have been drafted, if it was that high, you know, if I would have went in the sixth round and no one knew who the hell I was, there might have been an easier way to work my way up. But when you're drafted that high, it really wouldn't have mattered where I went. I was going to implode no matter what.
Ryan, what gave you that sense that there was going to be an implosion? Like, did you ever get that feeling when you were at Washington State?
Never. Never got that. No, it was going to be easy. I was going to walk on the football field and do what I've always done my whole life. It shocked me that the scrutiny came, that the criticism came, that the fan hatred came, all of this stuff. It was utterly shocking to me, such in a way that I was in shock, you know, and no way in the world did I see something like that coming down the pipe. No one did, clearly, because I was one of the highest graded players ever going into a draft. Peyton Manning and I think were 8.5 in terms of grades, and you just don't see that. I think Andrew Luck had an 8.8 or something like that when he came out, and that was the highest we'd ever seen.
The relationships that you had when you were in the National Football League, players and coaches and management alike, what was the biggest one that you regretted the most, and just in terms of how things unfolded and dissipated?
Just Junior Seau and Rodney Harrison, two real leaders on that defense when I came into the league, and I just did not listen or was willing to like just glom onto them and ask them how they've done it, and then followed their advice verbatim. That's the best. That's the advice I give to guys coming into the league, no matter how highly drafted they are, because it all starts over. You go into that locker room, you find a guy that's played 10, 12 years, who's been a veteran in this league, because that is the odds of you playing at least 8 years is crazy. I think there's like 1,000 players in the history of the NFL to have played 8 seasons in the NFL. You go find those guys, you look them in the eye, you ask them how they did it, and when they tell you, you follow their guidance verbatim.
Any guys that you follow now verbatim?
Oh yeah, plenty. I have a few mentors. I got my sponsor's 32 years sober. I follow. Everything he says, I follow him. You walk into one of those meeting rooms, you find a guy that has what you want, you go ask him how he got it, and then you follow him, and you get the life of your dreams. And that's exactly where I'm at right now.
I mean, the days obviously are not always, you know, the highest of highs. How do you combat the lows of the lows?
You know, they don't exist anymore. I mean, because, you know, I was out on the golf course the other day, and I heard a guy just so upset and screaming about how long the round was taking. And I looked at him, and I said, man, it could be worse. And he's like, I don't know how. And I go, you could be in prison. and he looked at me like in complete and utter shock. And I go, so, hey, it could be a lot worse, buddy. All right, let's just enjoy it. So I don't take anything for granted anymore. Life is life. Life is hard. But, I mean, the amount of gratitude and perspective I have because of what I went through, there isn't a day where I look in the mirror at the end of it and go, God, that was awful. It is never awful. It will never be awful, no matter what, because of the life I've gotten to live.
Yeah. Hey, Ryan, I wanted to ask you, speaking of, you know, one of the things that we played the soundbite a lot, you had a famous locker room meltdown with Jay Posner where you screamed, knock it off. What led, were you just having a terrible day that day? Like, what led to that interaction?
Yeah, it's incredibly embarrassing. Maybe you'll take that into consideration next time you guys want to, you say you run it a lot. The day before, I played the worst game I'd ever played in my life at Kansas City. Completed one pass for 4 yards, threw a couple picks, fumbled 3 times, was sacked, I think, 7 times in a rainstorm. Was completely humiliated. A cameraman was in the locker room after the game, and it was back in the day when they had those big batteries on the end of the camera, and he swung around when I had stood up, and it just smoked me in the eye. And I was so angry, of course, by the way I played. And so I just dressed this cameraman down, like made him feel like an absolute peon for pretty much doing his job. And the local beat writer had witnessed it all. And, you know, I didn't think much of it. I didn't apologize to the guy. I just kind of went about my business. And the next morning, of course, it was in the newspaper. Jay Posner had written all about the incident. And so after my gaggle with the reporters on Monday, I asked him to stick around afterwards and, like I always used to do back then, is try to intimidate people and show them who was boss. And I said, hey, we're going to have a relationship, you know. I'd like some kind of privacy in the locker room and everything like that. And I think he saw an opportunity and kind of baited me with it. And I took the bait and I proceeded to kind of forcefully get him into the chair. And from what you guys saw is when a cameraman in the corner of the room spun around and heard me standing over the top of him trying to be like the big bad man, pulled my man card, and really looked like a petulant child just screaming at somebody who was doing his job. And luckily for me, I didn't, physically harm him. And Junior Sales popped in there, pulled me out, threw me in the shower, turned the cold water on, and again was there to protect me, like he did for me for those pretty much the entire time I was there until the end, where he just like, I can't do anything more for this guy. He self-sabotages so much. He really tried to help.
Yeah. We don't play it anymore, right? But back in those days when, we did.
Oh, yeah.
Full disclosure. But, you came up 1998. Social media really kicked in the 2000s, around 2008, 2009. That's when that really became a huge deal. How different, if at all, would your career have been if you had had, on top of everything that happened, you got a lot of negative publicity because of the way you played, but then if you add on top of it social media, how would that have changed the dynamic?
I didn't get a lot of negativity around how I played. The negativity came for how I behaved. People can get past. I mean, there was glimpses and signs. We played at Denver, and I threw for 300 and some yards and three touchdowns and just lit it up. And my athletic ability was always there, so it was never really that. It was how I behaved and how I acted. And so definitely it would have been constantly berated on social media. I cared so much about what other people thought. Post-prison, I've worked with a therapist on an affirmation. We use it all the time. I say it in the morning, every morning. I've been saying it for four consecutive years now, every morning in the mirror. What other people think of me is none of my business. I believe it now. I truly believe it. I can't control people, places, or things, ever. All I can control is how I react, how I deal with the situation. And when you come to that realization, there's a ton of like radical acceptance with that. And so it would have been very difficult. And now I'm on social media a lot, but it's all positivity. I don't let any negativity on it. It's all about pushing the envelope to help people who are dealing with substance abuse and mental health issues, and for me to use it as a platform in my, in my sporting broadcasting career, which has blossomed, which I never thought was something that was going to be able to ever happen. Being a communications major from college, not utilizing it when I got out, because the furthest thing I wanted to be was in a newsroom, because I disliked the media so much. Karmically, it's funny that I'm now in the media and doing that for a living. So it's interesting how things come full circle.
Ryan, do you think the National Football League does a good job of helping talent deal with mental health issues?
Oh God, no! They are awful. They don't care about the player. They care about how much money that player can bring in. And usually, when the player becomes a former player, that no longer is a viable option for them. Even if you are a Hall of Famer, they can build up that a little bit. But I think that they are a huge propaganda machine, and they're really, really good at it. They're a multi-billion-dollar propaganda machine that promotes violence and says they care about people, which they don't. They just like counting their money. And so it took me a while to figure that out. The recent death of Vincent Jackson, our NFL brother, alone in a hotel room at 38 years old, that was the final, I think that was just the final nail for me. And I was really upset about it. And luckily a bunch of people jumped to action with me, and we've gotten to business with a company that's associated with the Hall of Fame, because the Hall of Fame is kind of like Switzerland between the NFLPA and the NFL. They really don't have a side there. They can be neutral and truly help the player, and a lot of us former players can control that. So we've worked a deal with the Hall of Fame, and it's called the Hall of Fame Behavioral Health Center. And when something like that happens, when the family reaches out to us and says, Vincent is locked in a hotel room, he won't talk to anybody, he's drinking himself to death, it's like the bat line. They call me, I get on a plane, I'm in the Tampa area, I get to that hotel, I knock on the door, and I'm like, brother, I was there, I'm with you, I know the way out, just come with me. Every life is so precious. We can't have something like that happen again. We can't. And the NFL doesn't care one iota, and everything you see them say they do, it's just a lie.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. With just a few taps on the app, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish.
With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. It's your one-stop shop. Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps, or book services at an upfront price based on local data. They get the difficulties that can come with home projects. They get it. Why not make it as simple as possible? Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com, or download the app today.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So do you, I mean, I guess on that note, not to be cynical about this, but do you think that the stances they've had against the Redskins changing the name of the Washington football team and them with their social justice issues right now, taking those stances, are those disingenuous?
Yeah, I believe so. I think it's when the league's, you know, 90% and predominantly people of color, you better at least, I mean, they're really good at marketing. So that's essentially what this is. I mean, all of a sudden they just have this shift and this change. You know, that's the biggest thing. Either they came to like an epiphany and a realization, maybe Roger Goodell finally did, because he's kind of flying in the face of what a lot of the ownership believes in, and he works for the owners. So I was taken aback when I saw it happen, because we've seen how Colin Kaepernick has really been blackballed from the NFL because of his stance. But it's really hard for me to take anything they say at face value and seriously, just because I've been fooled too many times by it, and you know, first time, you know, shame on them. If they fool you twice, shame on you. It really is a shame on me if I keep believing it, but they're so damn convincing.
are you a fan of Kaepernick?
Yeah, definitely. I was a huge fan of him when he was coming out of Nevada. In fact, I talked to Jim Harbaugh about him a lot. And sure enough, you know, he moved up and grabbed him there at the beginning of the second round. And I thought that was a wonderful fit. I have a really unique perspective when it comes to, you know, law and order in this country, because I was an actual criminal, right? And the night they came and arrested me, I was high out of my mind. I had committed a crime, you know, and at no point did I ever fear for my life. And I never have when it's come to police. And that's like the epitome of white privilege. And you have to have empathy around the idea of, like, if you're a person of color in this country and you get pulled over by the police or engaged with the police at any time, like, there's a real honest to God fear that you could die in that moment. Mm-hmm. That's what I've really looked at. I haven't tried to look at incredible nuances to it. That's cut and dry for me. I wasn't in that moment fearful for my life. I didn't think I was going to die from the police. I actually thought they were going to take care of me. They were going to put me in a car and take me to a jail cell, and I was going to be safe. And when a person of color in our country is engaged with the police, they are fearful that they are going to lose their life. And that's exactly what Colin was trying to exemplify with his protest. It just took an unbelievable different spin when people wanted to look at it in a different light about, you know, our military and patriotism and stuff, when it had nothing to do with that. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of this.
But do you think, though, that the message was just bad in the way that it was presented? I mean, because you can have that stance for, obviously, social justice and the racial issue and the components with that against the police. But when you have anybody, let alone a quarterback of a National Football League team, wearing socks with pigs on them, identifying as police officers, and Fidel Castro shirts, like, don't you think that that message out there also is seen for the masses and can be misconstrued?
Definitely. Disappointing. You know, we're flawed human beings. Yeah. I've messed up a ton. I continue to mess up, you know. I'm willing to listen to him and accept his apology for doing it. Mm-hmm. His larger message is one that I can rally behind, but I don't wear blinders to the fact that those are things that actually exist, right? Mm-hmm. I have enough empathy to understand that, you know, no matter how large of a pedestal we get placed upon, we're still flawed human beings like everybody else, and we mess up all the time. I think that's what makes me so much more relatable when I travel around the country and speak. They're in the room and they're like, you know, we're just like each other. You know, we screw up. We have principles and values, and we don't live up to our expectations and others' expectations a lot of the time. And clearly those are a couple instances that people are, you know, point to. And it's understandable. I understand people when they have those points to make. And I my response to them, like to yours, is like, yeah, I understand it. It's disappointing. I've accepted it as his acknowledgement of messing up, and the larger message and what he's trying to come across, I think, is more important. And that's why I've you know, been a supporter of his.
Yeah, and I think on that note too, Ryan, the one area that makes you unique, and I think this just speaks for the masses, whether you're an athlete, a politician, a musician, a journalist, is that you're admitting, and you have admitted, you fucked up and you've done wrong and you're not perfect. But there are people that will just hit the gas and they just continue to drive right through a wall and not acknowledge and not be accountable.
That's a huge part of it. Yeah. It's a huge part of it. Like, you know what? I found that was really difficult. Like, when I was playing, I could not own up to my shit. I couldn't. I don't know why. I thought it was weakness. And vulnerability and transparency, accountability in the most, it costs you nothing. It doesn't. You know, it costs you nothing to just be honest and say, hey, this happened. I'm not perfect. I want to be better. What am I supposed to do? Just call it quits? End it all right now? I know a lot of you might want me to do that, but I'm just not built that way. I'm going to get back up and I'm going to continue to trudge forward and try to be the best possible version of myself I can, because that's what I do. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to continue to do it. Plain and simple.
Hey, Ryan, you know, I do the overnight show, so we have an interesting, eclectic group of people listen to my show. And, you know, be honest, I mean, a lot of people who are up all night, you know, they're fighting the demons of substance abuse and whatnot. You've been through the battle. And if someone happens to stumble upon this, you've talked about a few things, but if you could sum it up in a couple of sentences, what advice would you give a person who's listening to this? It's like, hey, you know, I kind of had some issues like Ryan, but I'm not a former NFL player. So what advice would you give that person?
Well, plain and simple, if I can do this, anybody can. You know, that's the honest God truth, right? In the complete public eye, in front of everybody, every time I messed up, you know, Sports Center banner, you know, complete joke, bust, all of this stuff. Like, and I'm going to tell you, it was probably easier for me than it is for you, because you're doing it in the darkness and no one may know. And you feel isolated, you feel alone, you don't feel like anybody cares. Let me tell you right now, I care. And if you want to reach out to me, my direct messages are open on every social media platform. You wouldn't believe the amount of messages from people since the pandemic started, probably at least 10,000 that we've answered and got people in help, or just people just need somebody to listen, to hear that you're struggling and that it's going to be okay. Know that you're not alone. And asking for help is the strongest thing you can ever do. I can attest to that. If I can do this, anybody can. So you got to surrender and accept the help, and we're willing to help.
That's great. Good advice. You can reach out to Ryan. I wanted to ask you, actually, because I was covering the Lakers when you were at Washington State, and it was right around the draft. I think it was like 1998 or so. I was at the Forum. And I remember there was a little bit of buzz. You had come, you were at a game, and you were kind of, I think, if I remember correctly, you were in the locker room. Do you recall that, or am I imagining things here?
No, it was, well, the first Laker game I ever went to, we were at the Rose Bowl.
And, okay, so you were in college. You were in college still. Okay.
We were in college. We were getting ready for it. It was like a week before the Rose Bowl, and we were in L.A., and Dr. Buss and his family invited Charles Woodson and myself, and we could bring a fellow teammate, and we all went to the game, and we were down there on courtside, and I got to meet Jim Carrey. I remember doing that, and the Laker girls and Dr. Buss. And then because of that, once I got drafted by the San Diego Chargers, I was up all the time as a guest of Dr. Buss's at the Forum Club, and I became close with Kobe. And Kobe's assistant and my assistant had gone to high school together, so we became really close, you know, and especially when things got tough for me and his career kind of started to take off, he was very empathetic and tried to help. He would always send me, I'm looking at him right now. I'm in my office right now. I got like his rookie year when I was rookie year, his first couple years when he had the Adidas deal and he had these KB8 shoes. He would always give me or send my brothers his pairs of shoes after the game. And I got a pair of his shoes sitting right here. I look at every day in my office, and, I miss him dearly. We lost connection, of course, because of how successful he became and how dysfunctional I did. But, I used to love being able to do that. And Dr. Buss was such a welcoming person. And, you know, he's kind of from a small-town guy that made it big in the big city. And, I used to do that a lot. So definitely.
I remember meeting
in the locker room. Yeah.
Yeah. No, because I was there, and I remember the night that I recall, and I guess it might have been the Rose Bowl thing, but you were like waiting for a cab outside back before Uber was a thing, in that little tunnel at the Forum. So what was it? Jerry Buss, a legendary figure in LA sports and in sports ownership, and. He liked to have a good time. So you were like buddies with him. How often would you talk to him? And did you have actual like a friendship? He'd give you tickets and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, I'd call his assistant and say me and my boys wanted to come up to set the reservation. We'd sit with him in the Forum Club, have dinner with them, and then he'd have tickets either in his suite or he'd have tickets down on the floor for me and my boys. I mean, it was. I mean, you're 20, 21, 22 years old, Montana boy living this life. It was really, really cool. And, you know, you're watching your heroes play basketball. It was pretty fun deal.
Ryan, did you get a chance to, I mean, because obviously the commute from San Diego to Los Angeles is not long, but Dr. Buss was known to go down to Del Mar. quite a bit. So did you ever get a chance to play poker with Dr. Buss?
No, I never played poker with him. I was not. I've never been a good poker player, and I don't really like it. I did invite him one time down to. I was a Del Mar horse racing member, and so the turf club there. I had him down one time where we watched the horse races and got to be a part of all that and stuff like that. So. I think that was the last time I probably saw him, to be honest with you.
Now, you after you left the Chargers, you bounced around a little bit. You played a few games for the Cowboys. Did you have much interaction with Jerry Jones when you were in Dallas?
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable to play for him. I was a Steelers fan growing up, so I wasn't really keen on being a Dallas Cowboy, but there's something about walking out of that stadium with a star on your helmet. And if you play for him, you're his guy. Regardless, I mean, he's as loyal as they come if you are a Dallas Cowboy. I remember, when I needed to get back to Montana in the off season to visit some family because my grandfather had passed away recently. He loaned me his jet. He let me take his jet to Montana to be with my family and stuff like that. I mean, so that's the kind of guy that he is. I guarantee you I could call him up today if I was in need and needed some guidance, some help. Once you're a Cowboy, you're a Cowboy forever.
It's pretty cool. And now I want to circle back to the draft. So next week is the big event here, the draft. Outside of Trevor Lawrence, as a former quarterback, Ryan, when you look at the other quarterbacks, there's a bunch of QBs. We could see four or five QBs drafted like rat-a-tat-tat right at the beginning of the draft. Which of the other guys really stands out that you think is going to be the guy?
Well, my list consists of Trevor Lawrence 1, Justin Fields 2, and then there's a toss-up. You know, if you're looking for highest ceiling, I'd probably say Trey Lance is probably one of the highest ceilings. You know, Zach Wilson and Mac Jones, very capable, accurate, strong arms. Davis Mills for me is a guy that people have slept on. I would have hoped for him to come back another year, having only started 12 games in his college career, but he's got first round talent. And it wouldn't surprise me if a team snuck up into the late first round like they did with Lamar Jackson a few years back to get a quarterback in the first round so they get that fifth year option on him. So I think everything falls to Atlanta at 4. What they do with their pick will lay the dominoes for the rest of the night, because if they pass on a quarterback and move back and a team jumps up there to take that fourth quarterback, there's going to be, you know, probably five or six other teams that are clamoring to jump up with Cincinnati or Miami to get that fifth quarterback. But if they decide to stay put, draft Kyle Pitts or Ja'Marr Chase or Devontae Smith or Micah Parsons defense on the defensive side of the football, those other two quarterbacks could drop back a ways, because for the next few picks, no one really needs a quarterback. I don't know what Detroit exactly is going to do, but I think people would really poo-poo the idea if they took a quarterback after spending all that money on Jared Goff over the next 2 years.
Ryan, not to geek out a little bit, but I have to do this with the college level, because you remember what Manning did in Indy when he had 3 and 4 wide receivers, and what he did in Denver. And I bring that up because of Mac Jones. I mean, he was a great player at Alabama, but he had Jalen Waddle, he had Devontae Smith, and then he had Najee Harris in the backfield and John Metchie in the slot. So is that more of what Sarkisian and Saban did, or was that on him? And do you think that even translates to the National Football League? Because and Alabama quarterbacks have not panned out well, obviously, in recent years.
Yeah, I think he's remarkable. I think he made Steve Sarkisian this last year, because Steve kind of looked like he knew what he was doing with Tua and Jalen, but when push came to shove in the big game moments, he looked lost in terms of how he went about his business. And wow. Mac Jones made him look like a superstar. Mac Jones got him the Texas Longhorns head coaching job. Joe Burrow. What was it? Who was Joe Burrow throwing to? Edward Tolaire? were they a bunch of bums out there? No. There's Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson. There's ballers, right? I mean,
yeah.
So, I mean, if you're gonna knock Mac for it, you got to knock Burrow for it too. And I don't believe that to be the case at all. How come Tua and Jalen couldn't win a national championship from start to finish? You know, what if the third guy in line was actually the best of the three? And so, therefore, I'm a huge, huge fan of Mac Jones. If he goes to third to San Francisco, I'll be very, very happy for him. I have no idea what San Francisco is going to do. John Beck, who is a quarterback guru and coach, really close to Kyle Shanahan. Apparently, Kyle had shuttled him off to North Dakota to work with Trey before this last workout. So that makes me lean a little bit towards the 49ers taking a leap for the North Dakota State product at three. We'll see. We'll find out. I think any of the three guys that land in San Francisco are going to have great careers.
All right. And Ryan, you'll actually be in for our former colleague, Rich Eisen, right? You're going to be hosting for him on this NFL draft week. Is that correct?
Yeah. So Rich is going to be in Cleveland hosting NFL draft stuff for NFL Network because of COVID. His daily television and radio show couldn't travel because of COVID. And so, you know, by the grace of God, he has been a huge supporter of mine and giving me opportunity after opportunity. And sure enough, two of the biggest platforms, day of the draft or the day after the first round of the draft, I'm going to be hosting the big fellas TV and radio show both days. So excited about that. Going to be a ton to talk about. Always have a blast with those guys on that show. Can't wait. It's going to be a great week.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, thank you for your time, Ryan. Continued sobriety. Good luck, and we'll talk to you down the line. Thank you.
You bet, fellas. Take it easy.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. That was great.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is.
In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie, too, for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's Angi.com. Or download the app today.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific. Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.